midnight hour.
Some midnight hour. If you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy those chains and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. Lord, I give you honor. I give you honor. I give you praise.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Isn't he worthy of praise and glory and honor? Amen. Would you sing that song, I stand in awe of you. Amen.
And I stand in awe of you. Lord, in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Sing that again. I stand, I stand,
and I stand, I stand in awe of you, Lord, I stand.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard.
Depths of your love, you are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh yes, I stand.
Yeah. saints. Amen. Amen.
Just sing that song. Amen. You are God alone.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God created by any more. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan.
We'll start it over. We'll start it.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. And you are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone. And you are God alone. And before time began, you were on your own. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God. God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. You are God alone, and before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God. Before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you were on your throne. You are God alone. Unchangeable. Unchangeable. Unstoppable, that's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. And you are God alone, and before time began, good times and bad, you glad to say that they're part of that bride, that he would have fellowship, amen, that he wouldn't be a God alone, amen. Amen. How many would just say with an upraised hand, I have need of prayer? We don't have any testimonies or prayer requests. Just a reminder that we have a second service with communion today, amen, for all those who'd like to participate in that, amen. I'm just going to ask Brother Paul if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer, amen, also the tithes and the offerings. How many are looking forward today, amen? Just looking forward to what God has in store for us.
Bow our heads, Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Just thank you for bringing all these saints here, Lord. Bring us all in one place, Lord. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord. We just pray we make our minds right, make our bodies right, Lord, and just prepare ourselves for your word, Lord, and just be able to receive it, Lord, and just bring your anointing upon this preacher, Lord. And just may we just receive it, Lord, today, Lord. Just bless this afternoon, Lord, with the church, Lord. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Just sing that song, I'm covered, covered, covered by his blood. How many are glad to be saints of God, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. Hidden from sin, amen.
And I am covered, covered, covered by his blood. I'm walking by faith, I'm living in love. I am covered, covered, covered by his blood.
Sing that song, there's power, power, wonder work and power in the blood of the Lamb, amen.
And there is power, power, wonder work and power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder work and power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. I know there's power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, hallelujah! There is power, power, wonder work in power.
Now we're
Yeah.
Now don't you worry, little children. Just death knocks on your door. Don't you know that death is a doorway that leads to the heavenly shore? Over there is no heartache and no sorrow, grief or pain. The perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. And one day I'm gonna take a stand. Soon and very soon, by theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step into my theophany. One day I'm going the final step, and it's going to set me free. By theophany, will I hear it calling me? It's calling, come up. And it's a calling, come up a little higher into the perfect word. Come up a little higher into the agape love. It's a calling, come up a little higher, soaring through the heavenly. My theophany, will I hear it calling me? Over the next hill, over the next hill, in the rope, well, I see victory. Around the next curve in the room, that old devil, he's got to flee. God's army is marching, marching onward to slay that enemy. And around the next curve, I see King Jesus coming for me. And it's a calling, come up a little higher. The perfect word, come up a little higher into the agape love. Come up a little higher, soaring through the heavenly. My theophany, will I hear it calling? It's a calling, come up.
Out to the house of God this morning. Amen. We have the Sprint family in again. Amen. Praise God. Good to see them. Amen. And good to see the Lightners in this morning as well. We have one hiding behind the wall here, and by His grace we'll be listening to him minister the word this morning and this afternoon. Amen. We're looking forward to the word of God. Amen. So we appreciate all that we're able to press out and all those that were able to make it to our little get-together the other night. Amen. It wasn't long enough. That's my only complaint. But by the grace of God, we enjoyed what we had together. Amen. Testimonies were real good. Amen. And we sung There Is Power. And for those who missed it, there's a testimony from my brother, who is actually Brother Paul there. And by the grace of God, he's trying to get an oil filter out. Never changed it before. He's trying and exhausted all his means. And something just struck him, sing There Is Power. He started singing, There Is Power, and by his hands, he just started turning that thing around. Amen. So my wife's spreading that one abroad already. I heard her on the phone yesterday, and certainly a real blessing. Amen. But isn't it good? Because, you know, who hath despised the day of small things? Amen. Amen. Just little things, but how they prove your faith. Amen. How they prove your God. Amen. The good thing about God, he never leaves you with just a few of them. He just lets them build and just keeps on doing wonderful things as we enter into the presence of God. Amen? But maybe we know time is probably far spent. I don't have a watch on me. But maybe we'll just sing one song and we'll get our precious brother Matt out here. He is certainly a blessing. And we're looking forward to the Word of God this morning. Don't know if they're going to sing or what's going on, but I like to say the Holy Ghost knows what's going on. Amen? So maybe we'll just sing one song. I haven't sung this song in a long time, but maybe we'll sing just a little hymn. And it makes me want to cry every time I sing it. And I just love it because, you know, we are people of uncertainty as far as within our own minds. We don't understand often the plan of God. We don't often understand why things happen the way they do. But we have a Creator that does. Amen? But by the grace of God, what we look to is a God that though we don't know, He's our shepherd. And He leads us right through. So maybe this morning I'll try to sing, if I can, that song, He Leadeth Me. Amen? So I'll try to get the key right here, and we'll allow her to come out. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful Gilmore fellow that wrote that. Oof. Oh, I love it, don't you? Amen. Don't you love that you have a God that leads you?
Amen.
You don't understand it always, but you know He leads you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, maybe we'll just allow the Word to come forth at this time. Amen. And as our brother Matt would prepare himself, maybe we'll just sing a song. Do we have that song, By Your Great Name? At the Sound of Your Great Name? Amen. We ain't sung that for a while.
Lost our shame, find their way at the sound of Your great name.
Hallelujah.
Condemned, feel no shame at the sound of Your great name.
Oh, I love this.
Oh,
I say this, when you come under the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
This song just ain't a song, church.
Amen.
But you have, remember, David could cast the demons out
amen.
From Saul's presence
amen.
Just by singing and playing a song.
Amen.
We don't have to wait for the Word of God to come to get devils out of this church, amen?
Amen.
We don't have to wait for the end of a service to make a move. The move is on, church. The move is on when the name of Jesus Christ is prevalent in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It will produce of itself if we place our faith behind it.
Amen.
Amen. What is your expectation today? Our expectation is what? That God would be glorified and that God, He would be here with us right now. Is it not His promise that where you are, there I'll be also? Amen. Amen. I'm going to start preaching. Brother Matt? But church, I love God. Don't you love God? And what a blessing we have in this hour that we are sitting here with the Word of God in its fullest form. Only the first church age had what you had, but you have more than what they had because you have the fullness of the book of Revelation open to you.
Amen.
You're a carrier of the promises of God. You are a carrier of the seed of God.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're probably going to hear a couple amens out of me this morning. Feeling pretty good. It ain't a workup.
Amen. That's right.
It ain't a workup.
We're
talking about sincere worship to God Almighty. A worship that produces the life of God.
Amen.
We're talking about a word that produces the life of God.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't dependent on any man being here. It's dependent on the people who are here wanting God to be here. Amen.
Amen.
We have that vision, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm just going to allow Brother Matt to come up at this point in time. If he wants to sing whatever he wants to do. I'm about ready to steal a cup of water here. But I'll let her go. And brother,
thank you, brother.
It is good to have you in the house of God this morning. Give the Lord a round of applause. You and
this one on?
Thank you. All right, praise the Lord. It's a sign from our sister Craighead down in Virginia. Lord, I worship Thee. In Your presence I long to be. I'll lift up my hands, give praise to Thee. may be seated for a couple minutes. I'd like to have everyone stand when we read the word, but I like to sometimes talk a little bit and let everybody sit down just in case I get carried away talking. So I just want to, first of all, say we're thankful to be back. And it's been, I guess, about 3 years. I'm not sure for the cam. It's been some time. I remember everything was different. And it's really much improved and done some wonderful work. And I'm a little bit jealous, if that's allowed. But we're just trusting God. Sometimes, you know, we just need to get to desperation for things to happen. And maybe that's where we're at back home, you know. Seemed like the church grew and grew, and we overflowed, and everybody was starting to get desperate, and then some people stopped coming and kind of didn't overflow anymore, and, you know, everybody kind of slacked off, and it seemed we need to really get to that point back home where we just, we're willing to make a change, you know.
Amen.
And you just pray for our church there, as we'll pray for you, and our pastor sends his greetings. They're having a visiting minister this morning. His father and his sisters all go to the church there. But ever since he got saved, he'd been out in the world a little bit, and then he got saved. And he ended up marrying a girl from Tennessee and moved right down there. And her parents offered him a house on the property, helped him get a job, kind of made it all really slick for him there because they didn't want their daughter going away. And it worked. And he seems real happy down there. He's got a good church they fellowship with there, Brother Howard Carroll. And he ministers there. And when he comes back, we get to hear him. We're sorry we missed him. But we're glad that he's there to bless the saints. We can always get the CD or the MP3 if we're not there. Right, saints? Yeah. Sometimes we say we will and we forget. And we just let it pass by. But really, it's good to... If you're not there, get the CD, get the MP3, whatever you listen to, tapes. Try to stay in that continuity of the word, what God is bringing in your church. Because a lot of times, you know, one thing will build upon another thing, it'll lead to another thing. A lot of times they'll be visiting ministers and they'll be preaching the same lines of thought. And that's all working, building up the body. And if you're in and out, and sometimes you can't help it, but it's good to have those CDs and try to be stay in touch. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Sometimes it's easy, you know, if you stay home on a Wednesday night for sickness or whatever it is, just get kind of relaxed. And I don't know if you have church here Wednesday night. I think you do. Just kind of get kind of relaxed and, you know, just sort of pass by, sitting down and listening to a tape or having some Bible time with your family or whatever. And just sort of take a break. And I'm not going to say... You know, you're lost if you do that, because I think we've all maybe slipped into something like that in the past. But it's best to keep your guard up.
Amen.
Amen. If you can't make it, try to be in that frame of mind, you know, and be praying for the believers that are there, and be praying that God will do something for you where you're at.
Amen.
I also want to say that we're thankful to be here with my new brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And their hospitality to us at their home there in the country. And it's really interesting. We were learning about the Black Swamp last night. Brother Dave was telling me, I don't know how many of you are aware of this. You probably should all know this, I'd imagine. I'm preaching to the choir here, but I guess this area has quite the history behind it. And we got to watch some of it. Unfortunately, some of the sacrifice you pay as ministry, just when it, you know, right in the middle of it, I thought, well, better get back to this thought, you know, and really I had to cut it off, and I thought, well, I'll come back to it. I never made it back to it, so one of these days we'll finish that Black Swamp. But my wife, I appreciate her sacrifices. There's a lot of times she's left to take care of everything herself, you know, like many wives have to for their husband's jobs, you know. And I think all us husbands appreciate our wives and what they do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, it's a, they were wonderful help to a man, a good wife. Amen. Okay, well, let's get to the word this morning. Let's stand and turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And as you're turning there, I'm going to give the title. I'll try to give it again when you sit down if you're taking notes. That is the power of the spoken word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided light from the darkness, and God called the light day. The darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God said, again, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself and his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this word that we've read and the words that we are to read, the songs that have been sung, and the worship to you, Lord. We are so grateful to you, Lord, for your grace and mercy in our lives, Lord. And we pray that you'd take this little lesson and drive it into our hearts, into our spirits, Lord, so that it will become a part of who we are and will come back out of us, Lord. For we don't want to be like the forgetful hearer spoken of in the book of James, who's like a man looking in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looked at. Maybe his hair would be all askew. Maybe his clothing would be all askew, and he just glances at the mirror and runs on and doesn't even think of it. But a man who stands before the mirror and makes sure every little detail reflecting that mirror is what he wants to see, Lord. And that's how we want to be with your word this morning, Lord. Not just to hasten through and glance at these words and say, "Oh yes, praise God for this and that," but to really reflect and meditate and look into this mirror of your word until we see that very reflection reflecting in our lives. Lord, let it be this morning as these words come forth on the power of the spoken word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated, and God bless our brothers and sisters meeting around the country today. Amen. Grant to them that atmosphere that the Holy Spirit can move in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to just go into a little lesson, God willing, this morning about the power of the spoken word. And originally started out kind of looking at this thought from a aspect of the idle words that we speak and the foolish jesting and scriptures like that. And just completely, you know how it is sometimes when you, that was kind of what I had in mind. I started looking at this. The more I looked at it, the more it developed, and that just kind of got set aside. Maybe it'll be part two this evening, God willing, maybe not. I had another thought in mind when I came here, so just pray for this evening that God will lead. I know he will.
Amen.
If we will yield ourselves and make ourselves available. Amen.
Amen.
Our greatest ability is availability. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And as our brother Kenneth Walker just shared with us last weekend, that the only handicap, I think it was he said, the only handicap in life, or the greatest handicap, is a bad attitude.
Cool.
And if we can just keep our attitude open to God, or keep ourselves yielding and available to him, he can do great things. Amen. Amen. And we know that. We were at the testimony meeting Friday night, and it was just so many wonderful things God has done. And the brothers, one says this, and you know how it is. One says one thing, and first of all, nobody knows what to say. And then one says something, and somebody else thinks of something, and somebody else thinks of something, and then somebody else wants to say something again, and it goes round and round and round. And as the brothers were talking, and sisters come to realize that each one of us, if it wasn't for God and His grace and mercy and care, our lives would have been snuffed out. And actually, my wife pointed out, we might not even been born. We might not even been conceived if it hadn't been for God's plan and hand on our life. And that really encouraged me, because I've been dealing with this arm tendonitis, and it's been, I can't hardly do anything. Our pastor had it, and other people in our church had it, and we talked about it and that. My pastor says, it's like you feel like you're an invalid, you know. And your right arm, I'm right-handed, and to pick up anything, to grab anything, to squeeze anything, just pain shoots right through your arm. So I've been dealing with this for about 3 weeks, and I thought, what if I just prayed, and I did pray right away, and God had just healed it instantly? I probably would have said, oh, praise the Lord. You know, I had a little pain in my arm, prayed, went away. Didn't even think anything of it, you know. But how many times has that happened? How many times have just a little something sprung up? And my wife was sharing how a young boy in the church a few years back had a pain in his stomach. They prayed, it went right away, you know. And the pastor was saying, that could have been something serious. Could have been appendicitis. You know, he could have went in for a life-threatening condition, had surgery and all this. But all we know is it was a little pain. We prayed and it went away. And I know now that this little pain, if we would have prayed and went away like so many times before, I've been blessed with really good health in 39 years that I've been here on earth. Hardly ever had anything. Never a broken bone, never a cavity, never lost a tooth, you know. So just, I've been very blessed with health. And this little thing, I could have prayed, it could have went away, and I would have never even realized I had a problem, you know. But now I know. Now I'm aware. And I also know the same God that can preserve each one's life day in and day out, He could heal this right while I'm speaking. He could heal it in a minute. He could have healed it yesterday. He could have healed it the first time I prayed. But for some reason, in His great, all-knowing, infinite wisdom and love, He's allowed my arm to keep hurting. It could be I need an assistant at work now to fully fulfill my duties. My boss, we're a little slow. He has a helper hired, and he offered me his helper. So now I'm working with this 20-year-old kid, and we're starting to talk. It could be the reason that God wanted me in a certain place at a certain time, and the only way to get me there was to put a pain in my arm and let it stay and let it remain for some season of time. And if He wants it there for years, well, may it be there for years. You know, if that's His plan, let it be. Praise God. If that works some greater purpose for His plan, let it be. But they say generally this goes away in a few months is the typical run of course. But God knows. He's in charge. And I thank Him for that. Well, back to our text this morning. We don't want to take too much time. The power of the spoken word says here, let it bring forth. God said, let it bring forth of its in His kind. Whatever it was, it must be brought forth of its kind. Once His word is spoken, it can never die. It lives on, and can never die because it is God. His word can no more die than He can die. I'm reminded of a scripture I have here. I don't have it in my notes, but it says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He spoken, and will He not perform it? Or will He not make it good? Amen. When God speaks, that word goes out. That's a creative, powerful, forceful word. You and I can say, brother, I'll see you tomorrow. You know, or I'll see you at work tomorrow. But we may not be able to make it to work. Our vehicle may completely fail on us, and we're stuck at home. We may never make it there. But when God says, let it be done, it will be done. Amen. He said a virgin will conceive through Isaiah. Most preposterous thing to the human mind. And years and years went by. And then that word came to fulfillment in Mary. Amen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now we understand when God speaks, and when God has spoken, and when God will speak, He has faith in His own Word when He speaks it. Why does He have faith in His own Word? Because He knows who He is. That's how the book of Hebrews chapter 11, which we're reading from, it says, anyone that comes to God must believe that He is. And He rewards those who seek Him. Now, if you know who God is when you come to God, when I come to God for my arm or for my children or whatever it be, if I know who He is and I come to Him, that gives me faith. Because I know I'm coming to the God, the Creator of the universe. The God, nothing is impossible with God. And the prophet said in one place, and I love this quote, he says, nothing is impossible with You. Amen. He says, because Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. Amen. Well, if all things are possible, saints, then nothing is impossible. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Glory. The power of the spoken word. His word and our word. We want to look at our word, too. Keep looking at His word. The songwriters have penned, speaking of Jesus, when He spoke, Jesus was God in flesh. Amen. When He spoke, all of heaven stood still, and the earth began to tremble beneath His Father's will. And another writer wrote, He spoke, peace be still, and the winds and the waves obeyed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And one thing I love about Jesus, and it tells us He was God in flesh, is that He never said, thus saith the Lord. He never said, God says this, or God wants me to tell you that, or I feel the Lord is speaking this. He said, I say to you. He said, I am. Everything was first person with Him. And He just spoke it right out.
Amen.
Amen. I love that about Jesus. He spoke, peace be still, and the winds and waves obeyed. Brother Branham tells us that man is a miniature creator. This is in Divine Love 57. There's one thing the church has to do. If you want somebody to come to Christ, you be salty. Salt makes a thirst. You be salty and the world will get thirsty. That's right. For in a man, he is in one sense a miniature creator if he's a child of God because the Spirit of God is in him.
Amen.
Remember, all things are possible for him. All things are possible for us.
Amen.
Who controls him? Who operates him? That's the Spirit of God in a man. And I'd like to let you in just on a few things that I know to be the truth. If I had just a little more voice, I'd like to preach on that tonight. Now, do you not believe 55? Now, let me tell you something. Each man that's born again with the Spirit of God in him is a miniature creator. Now, that might shake you a little, but that's the truth. It doesn't shake us. Amen? We're familiar with these things. Amen. We're in the image of God. God is a creator. How many knows we're made in God's image? Man is made in God's image. That's why it's okay to go out here if you're hungry and you own the animal or you have a hunting license. Get your gun, shoot that animal. Throw it on your table or hang it up and cut it down. And put it in your freezer and eat your fill. There's nothing wrong with that. Because that's an animal. And we're human beings.
Amen.
And that's why it's not okay to go out here and shoot a person.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of people are failing to get that connection. You know, animal rights, animal protection, animal luxuries, you know.
Right.
Makes me sick, you know. should make anybody sick. You know, and I have a cat, and you know, we try to take care of him. We had rabbits for a short while. Try to take care of them, you know. You want to be a responsible person. And a responsible person will try to take care of the animals that's in their care. If you can't take care of them, maybe get rid of them. If you can't take care of them. Nothing wrong with that. But the idea of pampering and petting and catering to animals so much, and then children around the world or people around the world suffering and lacking finances, and these people that spend thousands of dollars on animals wouldn't give a couple thousand dollars to missions or to help the poor people. That just makes me sick. You know, misplaced values. Now getting back to, so we are in the image of God, and because we're in the image of God, He's a creator, we're creators. That's the reason you can believe God could heal a person, because God is in you. God made this world. He just spoke it, and His word become material. The very ground that you're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. Amen. This black swamp ground here has been dredged out, and made into great farmland. This is the word of God made manifest. We're sitting on here. You see, where do he get it? See, he just spoke it and turned it into existence. That's the atheist's greatest problem. The evolutionists, they're trying to figure out, how did we get here? And they say, they argue it back and argue it back, and they say, well, if it was a Big Bang, where did that very first beginning of it come from? It had to be some originator. Amen. And we're thankful that we know. Amen. So the very he spoke it, it turned into existence. He believed in his own word. We just said that. If a man's born of the Spirit of God, he's an offspring of God, and that part of him, God is in him, and he believes every word that God says will materialize. See? And so that makes him part of God. The Holy Spirit in the man makes him a part of God. And now, did you ever see people? He's talking now about creating an atmosphere. Nice people, but you just can hardly stand to be around. Sure you have. You don't have nothing against them, but you can't stand to be around them. Then you've seen some person that's, oh, maybe a little old scrawny fellow or a little old woman bent over a wash tub, you know. But you just love to be around that person. You just love them somehow. It's the atmosphere that they've got around them. The way they live, they create an atmosphere that you like to be into. That's lovely people to be with. Now, my wife's sitting there, and she was crying, so I said, now, the only thing, he was telling this story before, and he must have dropped back into it. Coming home from a long day, and his wife was crying and broke up, and the children running around, and I never understood much about this until I got married and had four children. I think all husbands and wives raising families understand this. This is a possible scenario, possibly common. So he said in my heart, I said, now the only thing for me to do now, Heavenly Father, in my heart is to create a different situation here. And I said, now Heavenly Father, I love you and I've been ministering to your people, and here my poor little wife is all tore up. The baby's sitting there pulling one another's hair and fighting over the blocks. And I said, we don't want that, so you help me, Father, and I believe you're going to do it. So we went in there and he said, wife, you're a daughter of God. Stop this bawling. Stop this sobbing. Stand up. Straighten up. And get shipshape. Is that what he did? No. No. No, he said, praise the Lord, honey. I said, this has been a marvelous day. Speak love. Speak positive.
Yes, yes.
And positive things surround. Amen. You see that kitty walk out a while ago and took them braces off and walked away? He's talking about why he wasn't available. Because he was pouring his energies into ministering to God's sick children with the gift God had given him. And because of that, you know, he wasn't there to help his wife. And I think each husband could say something similar, you know. that look, dear, you know, at this paycheck that I'm bringing home, you know. Wasn't all that overtime nice? I mean, isn't it? Just think of what we could buy with this, you know, or whatever it be, you know. Or maybe if it was time spent in service to the Lord's work, you know, say, well, sweetheart, I know it's been a sacrifice, but think about those books or tapes or that that good deed that needed done. Think about that person maybe that needed help, and about what a blessing it is to that person, you know, that I've been able to give of my time and benefit them or get those books out to them people or testify to that person or whatever it would be.
Amen.
I believe His work has to be first. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's, and I know there's many things can take our attention away, but His work needs to be priority number one. Amen. He says, the man out there in the ambulance said, Brother Branham, just speak the word. That's all they have to do, and my child will come out of here. And a lot of faith, you know, I got talking. She said, oh, honey, he said, it's so wonderful, but said, oh, look at these kiddies, said. They haven't eaten since this morning, said. I couldn't get even around in the kitchen. So she's still in her world, which is a chaotic situation. And I said, oh, yeah, but that's all right. Just think when it's all over. What we're going to do then. I said, my, when we sit down with them over there, and when they ring those golden bells some of these days, and the Jubilee songs begin to sing, and there comes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I said, just watch me shine then. And I said, honey, I'm going to have you right on the arm like that, and we're just going to walk right up those streets of gold. Amen.
Amen.
So he's not looking at the troubles of this life. He's looking over into the heavenly reward. Amen. That's a good thing to encourage yourself with, saints. I seen a little smile come out the side of her face, and I thought, thank you, Lord. Just kept right on, said, now we will get supper ready right quick. And I said, we will shove out right quick and we will go somewhere and get in the old car and puddle around down along the hill somewhere. I said, we will just have a good time. And she started getting supper ready. Every once in a while I would walk over and I was praying, oh, Lord, just let me create this atmosphere being happy instead of being like this. I laid my hands on her like that. I said, honey, you know what? She thought I just put my hands on her and talked to her, but I was laying my hands on her in Jesus' name. See, then, honey, you know what I said? It's just marvelous. I said, you know, at this coming summer, I said, we're going up into the mountains. As soon as I get a little time for vacation, I'd like to see the kids catch one of those trout. Wouldn't you like that? She said, oh, that was a lot of fun. I said, well, it's coming right along. I said, yes, honey, that's just fine. Oh, Lord God, please. And the first thing you know, she was laughing and singing. The kids had their blocks in there just playing and having a big time. So as soon as mom and dad came in a good atmosphere, the children caught the atmosphere and stepped right into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, that's the way it is. You just keep believing. Create the atmosphere. Never let doubt come around you. Believe all the time. Don't accompany any of that doubt at all. No, sir, no matter what the circumstances is, push away doubt. Walk right on through it. Just refuse it. Yes, sir. Don't give no grounds at all.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. We could stop right there. That was so good and useful. But I do have some more here. Wives, a woman, we understand from the Scriptures, a weaker vessel. But wives can also minister to their husbands.
Yeah.
A couple examples. Brother Branham told a woman one time whose husband was giving her a hard time, not a believer. Said, what you need to go home and make his favorite kind of pie and have it waiting for him when he comes home from work. That's a real ministry.
Right.
Creating an atmosphere. You ever walk in the door of a house that has fresh baked bread or a pie? There's an atmosphere in that house that says, there's something good to eat here. A lot of times you can identify the smell if it's familiar to you. Another thing, Sister Mita Branham, ministering to her husband, Brother Bill, she says, one time, he's all worked up. He's all excited. The phone rings. He says, tell him I'm out, to his wife. And he jumps out the back door. He says, I really was out. You know, he thought, you know, that's okay. And his wife says, Bill, you're absolutely wrong. You need to straighten up, buck up, you know, repent. And I'm going to tell you just what you need to do. You know, no, she didn't do it. She says, Bill, was that exactly right? That's all she said. Just a little thorn to kind of prick in his conscience there. And then once it stuck in, it was stuck, you know, and it had to work its way back out, you know. It's all it took. Reminds me of our brother Jesse Smith, actually. I heard him minister on it. I thought it was really good. It says in one of the epistles, speaking to the wives, it might be Peter, it says, wives, they could win their husbands without a word. But their conversation or their conduct or their lifestyle would win their husbands.
Amen.
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 What a wonderful lesson.
Amen.
For wives. Because we men understand, I know I'm getting off track here, but that's okay. The man's code of life is respect. You respect me, I respect you, everything's okay. And as they say in the inner city, don't diss me or disrespect me. Men don't like that. Even little boys. You know, they grow up fighting and soldiering, and it's the same thing carries on all through. So a woman needs to understand, men need that respect. They need time. They need space. And Sister Mita here really ministered well to her husband. She said, was that exactly right? Not a confrontation. Not an accusation. Just a question. And that question just worked its way in and really brought a repentance in his life. And we're thankful for that. Another good example of a man's wife ministering to him was Martin Luther. And he was battled depression at different times in his life. You know, and to be fair to Martin Luther, he had a great task in front of him. He had just ages and ages of the church standing against anybody that disagreed, anybody that rose up and said something. And here he rose up and said something. And God preserved him where he could survive. He wasn't just his life snuffed out like many of the others. And then once he stands up and says something, then he starts facing all this dissension and disagreement and division from the very people that are supposed to be on his side. You know? So it's understandable why he was depressed. And he was going around for days, you know, just kind of moping and down. And he comes home one day or comes out of his study, whatever it was, and he finds his wife in a black mourning dress. And she's going around the house all mourning and sad. And he says, what is going on, my wife? You know, what has happened? She says, oh, haven't you heard? God is dead. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, from the way you're acting, I figured he must have been dead. Not able to work anymore, you know? And it snapped him out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That there would be fulfilling the scripture to provoke one another to good works. And I think, you know, it worked. So I think it was all right. She changed the atmosphere. She snapped him out of it. Out of his glum, humdrums, moodiness, whatever you want to call it. We are made in the image of the Creator. And as miniature creators, we can create the same way that He created. How did He create? By His word that He spoke. How do we create? By our words that we speak. Amen. Didn't Jesus say in Mark 11:23, you speak to the mountain? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I know that's a puzzling scripture. It was puzzling to the prophet, to the latter part of his ministry, when he saw it taking place. And the way I understand it, and I don't want to get too much into doctrine here, But the way I understand it is that for you or me to see a mountain sitting out there and to speak to it and have faith in our heart that that mountain's going to move, I believe, for me anyway, I would need to be anointed, inspired to speak that. And if you're interested in looking into it, well, I'm not sure what sermon it was, but he talks about Paul, when Paul was out on the ship and there was a great storm. They were on their way to Rome. And before they took that trip, Paul said, "Brethren, I don't think we should take this trip because I think we're going to lose the whole ship and everybody's life." But they didn't listen to Paul's advice. Who was Paul? He wasn't a seasoned sailor. He was just a prisoner to them. And they took the advice of the captain of the ship. They went out on the ship. And then, the storm got so bad, they all despaired of life.
Right.
And Paul steps up to the deck and says, "Brethren, be of good cheer, for an angel came and told me. Nobody will be lost. Everybody's going to be saved. We will lose the ship, but everybody's going to be saved." And the prophet said there and points out, and it's right there in the scripture, how could he step out and say something like that if an angel hadn't come to him? But the same angel whose servant I am, that he was familiar with, an angel, had come to him and told him that. So he could step right out with absolute confidence, and the very thing he had predicted, the loss of the ship and the loss of everybody's life, that's what Paul thought was going to happen as a man. But the angel said, "Yeah, you'll lose a ship, but you'll all be saved." You can step around and say, "This is exactly what's going to happen, brothers and sisters." Because he was inspired or informed by the Lord. Amen. So that's the same way I believe we can speak to that mountain. By the word of God, the worlds were formed. We read that before. Jesus overcame the devil by the words that he spoke after his 40-day fast. So believers today and in every age have tremendous power in our words. Amen. Revelation 12:11 tells us, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." It's a part of our salvation. You know, it's partly the blood, it's partly the cross, and it's partly the word of our testimony. Amen. Because if thou shalt confess or say the same thing, you have to say something. What he's saying, you're saved. You're redeemed.
Amen.
But you have to say the same thing. I'm saved. I'm redeemed.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You know, I heard a preacher one time, I'll say his name, Louis Giglio, and at the end of his talk, it was really well put together and everything, he says, "It's grace, it's grace, it's nothing but grace, it's all about grace, it's grace, grace, grace." I thought, well, that sounds really good, you know. But something didn't quite ring true. There's a little bit of an uncertain sound. Maybe it had to do with kind of the setting, with the young people screaming and some of the kind of worldly trappings around his talk. Maybe it was just revelation, you know. I remember one time, brother was telling me, and I don't want to get too far off track, but they were watching that show, Touched by an Angel. And there's these two women that are supposed to be angels. One's an older woman, one's a little bit younger woman. They don't dress particularly modest, you know. And one scene, there's somebody sick in bed or something. They're praying with him or visiting him or something. And he was inspired to stop the tape. And when he stopped the tape, here's this Hollywood actress that's portraying an angel in this television show with a demonic expression on her face. Why would a person feel to stop a video in the middle of it like that? Just at one certain point. I believe he was inspired. You know, God spoke to him and said, "Stop it." He stopped it, and the devil was unmasked. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So maybe it was I believe it was inspiration. I got to think about that and kind of preach on that line too about grace. But it is grace. It is all about grace. But like the story of Abraham Lincoln that we're familiar with, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. Amen. It starts with grace. That's the very beginning of the Christian walk. But you must receive that grace. Embrace that grace. You must confess. You must speak with your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. That's what baptism is all about. They say in the Arab countries that a person can profess Christ and they won't get much persecution. But once they get in the water and they're baptized, that's when the persecution starts. Why is that? Because they're making a public confession. They're saying, hey, everybody, here I am. You know, I'm one of them. You know, I'm not just over here on the edge, a sympathizer. I like it, but I want to make sure I do everything I can to take full part in this Jesus Christ and His salvation.
Amen.
Amen. I believe every true believer needs to go to the water of baptism and accept the name of Jesus Christ. That's His grace that saved us. And it's our part to accept that grace. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And then once we accept that grace, as our brother Sandy Beach ministered at our church, he says, and I think it's over from in Titus, he says, the grace of God teacheth us. So it's not just grace extended, a free gift. It is, but then you need to accept it. And then once you accept it, then that grace that saved you begins teaching you.
Amen.
And what does it teach us? According to the book of Titus, it teaches us to abstain from the things of the world. I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the scripture in front of me here. And to abstain from lusts and to flee youthful lusts that war against the soul. And it teaches us the sanctification. And it brings us into the Christian life and walk. And that's what many of our denominational brethren are missing. You know, Billy Graham, the prophet, said he has a lot of decisions. He says those decisions are like stones. He said, but a stone needs a stone mason to cut it and form it into the building. And it's the same thing, you know, just to accept the grace and have easy believing. You know, you're not moving on into the Word of God and the plan of God for your life. Amen. There's more than grace. There's a grace that teacheth us. Amen. And I thank God for that. I didn't know if you had it up there, grace that teacheth us. Because I didn't have it. That's okay. Back to our thought here. Our thinking is the basis for our words. Talking about the power of the spoken word. The word of God as He spoke it to create. How we're miniature creators. Through our words, we speak and we can create. And the basis for our words is our thinking. A word is a thought expressed. Amen. And I should have found this quote. I thought of it. It slipped my mind. But the prophet says something like this. He says, before I say something, he says, something that really helps me in life. And of course, he's in his 50s, you know, probably at this time. He says, I think before I speak. Really? And I'm kind of paraphrasing it. Really, really basic thought. But what a help it would be to me as an individual.
Amen.
What a help it would be to so many of us if we would just think before we speak. Because many times we just, you know, we just say something or don't really give much thought. And, oh, that came out kind of funny, you know. But if we just think before we speak. What was he doing as he talked with his wife and used his words to create a right atmosphere? He was praying as he was speaking and thinking. about what he was saying. What was he doing as he spoke to the infidel with the apple tree out in the Kentucky hollers? He said he was praying and he was thinking about how he was going to talk to this man. He was looking to God for direction. Amen. How we need that. Amen. To be effective for him. Mary's belief 59, and you know it's usually when we're thinking about God and keeping our minds on God that God comes close to us. Talking about Mary, how she was out thinking about the Word of God when the angel came to her. I think that's one of the great troubles of the people this day. We have too many other things on our mind. Even when we come to a healing service, we seem to think, well, I did not get a prayer card tonight. Or perhaps, I'll not be prayed for. Negative thoughts. We will never be able to accomplish much as long as we keep those kind of thoughts. This Angelus Temple's thirsting for an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but the whole United States, speaking of the Christian realm, is waiting for a revival in our time. But we're waiting for something to happen. And I believe that God has let it happen. And we're just so pushing it somewhere else until it'll pass over us and our time of grace will be gone. I believe, talking about this statement, Invisible Union, the bride, he says they're calling for revival everywhere, but they missed the bride's awakening, or the calling out of the bride. Amen. And I want to say, and I want to be positive, I don't think we've missed it this morning. Amen. I believe we've seen the move of God in our day. And how thankful I am for that. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Amen. Let's raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord, for revealing your move in our day to me. Amen. Let's be positive in our thinking. Let's believe that this night now, the revival will break in Angelus Temple tonight. Let's believe that this is the night that God will do the exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we could do or think, He will do it tonight. Don't take no for the answer. It's when we think those things, you create an atmosphere around. Amen. So this kind of thinking is going to affect your talking. Amen. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And your words are your thoughts expressed. Amen. So it starts in our mind. Whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is of pure, of good report, think on these things. Amen. If you want good success, meditate in His Word day and night. Amen. Joshua 1:9. The book of Psalms. My hope is in Your Word. My delight is in Your Word. I was in many difficult situations, but I meditated in Your Word. I've trusted in Your Word. And Your Word has comforted me. Amen. 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 And I like the book of Psalms because he's very honest. There's many problems. There's many things that seek to disturb his peace and his safety. And it's the same with us. You know, to be a positive person doesn't mean you're going to go through life with never having a problem. You know, you could be in the midst of all kinds of problems. But you could be like the Apostle Paul and say, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Persecutions, tribulations, distress, but never given up, to paraphrase that. Amen. Not perplexed. Amen. Words have a lot of power. 1 Samuel 18. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but I'm going to because I didn't write this one down. Verse 7 to 11. 1 Samuel 18. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. I don't know if those women really intended to cause a great rift between Saul and David. I believe they were just rejoicing. you know. But in their words that they spoke, verse 8, Saul was very wroth or angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed or talked about David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed or talked about but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. So here we have women saying something rather innocent, rejoicing, giving thanks. But the words that were spoken entered into Saul's heart. And he began thinking on them and thinking negative things. Instead of being humble and rejoicing that God was blessing, God had given him thousands. He began thinking about those 10,000s and began feeling threatened and jealous. You know, and I think that's human nature many times, you know.
Right.
Somebody else maybe has a little better position, better job, or better, maybe you view them, their ministry, more successful than your ministry, whatever. You can start getting resentful. You know, that's what happened with Cain and Abel. One was being accepted, one was not being accepted, and the one that was not being accepted began getting resentful. And here, because of this, these words and these thoughts, an evil spirit enters Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. David's playing Christian music, gospel music, worshiping Jehovah music. And in the midst of it, this evil spirit on Saul throws a spear at David. Saul cast a javelin. He said, I'll smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. James 4:13 and 16. I think we did mention this one. I'd like to turn here. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we ought to be careful about what we say, because we want our words to be established. There's another scripture in Proverbs speaks about being hung by the tongue. And there's a little song wrote by a man named Dwight Hall. He says, hung by the tongue, the words that you speak, they can make you strong or they can make you weak. So make your decision to speak God's word today, and you won't be snared by the words that you say. Amen. And really, you know, there's many times we can say things just in the world and say, you know, oh yeah, you know, I'll see you at certain time. And I do service work. I'm always all over the place, traveling all the time. I just hate giving people certain times, because if I give them the time, you know, then something can come up on the other side of town, and I got to race over there to try to make this time, you know. So I always try to say, well, can we, you know, have a time frame, you know. Because once you commit yourself, you're stuck. And the only way to get out of it is call that person and say, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. I set this up and I don't know if I can make it. And, you know, and that's what the book of Proverbs speaks about, too. It speaks about when you say something and you give your word that you're going to do something, then if you're not able to do it, you're going to have to go to your friend and deliver yourself.
Amen.
Or or go to your customer, whatever it be, go to your spouse, whoever it would be, and say, I'm sorry, I said I could do it, but now I can't. You know, and how can I try to fix this situation? So our words have a lot of power. Amen. Think of another good example. If you ever are in court or some kind of a hearing, you know, you raise your right arm and you say, I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, and the whole truth. And then they say, you realize that anything you say can be used against you. You know, your words are carrying a lot of weight there. You know, you need to pick your words carefully. A lot of times, you know, a wise person, if it's a serious situation, will hire a lawyer to represent them. They don't want to get up there and start asking them all kind of questions. And, oh, yeah, you know, I did that. And I was here and I was there. And, you know, yeah, I signed that and I said that, you know. And before you know it, you got yourself wrapped into some kind of a prison sentence or something, you know. And something serious comes up. And there's nothing wrong with lawyers. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our lawyer. You know, He intercedes for us. And a lawyer is someone who kind of takes your side and helps you, is what he does. Amen. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But lawyers are, they have their place. And I learned that, you know, not that long ago. We had someone bring a lawsuit against me, and I just didn't know how to respond. I mean, they had like a 40-point, 10-page letter their lawyer had wrote and all this stuff. And just because I went to work for another company and I worked for this company and signed a piece of paper like 3 years before, and the guy told me when I signed it, oh, you know, don't worry about it. It's just a formality. Well, it wasn't the guy that was talking to me, the one that wrote the paper. He was the you know, the manager running the company for the owner. And his word, there's nothing on paper that says anything he told me, you know. He just says, oh, it'll be fine, you know. I said, okay, yeah, it'll be fine, you know. Right there at the bottom of the paper, it said, you know, you have a right to consult a lawyer before you sign this paper and all this legal gibbery jabbery. So I'm trying to come up with a reply and do this and do that. And finally, you know, we prayed about it and just felt like hiring a lawyer would be the best thing. And so that's what we did. And it was really a relief to have somebody on my side, you know, because I don't know what to say or what to do in those kind of situations. I'm never been in court before, you know. Never want to be there if I can help it, you know. And he just really stepped in and kind of was an advocate for us. And it's a really nice thing, you know. And but that's another situation where your words can be very binding, you know. I just found that out recently. I was at an unemployment hearing. And thought this lady was so nice, you know, she seemed so friendly and everything. And I've been late in filing my appeal for something or other, to the determination. They felt I owe them a little bit of money. And I think they owe me money, but anyway, that's my opinion. But I was late. And she, you know, and she's like, oh, da 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 da. I'm like, oh, da 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 da. You know, just, yeah, I was late. Yeah, I had no real legitimate excuse. You know, I just wasn't familiar with the system. And I thought, well, she seemed like an understanding person, you know. But the fact of the matter is, she's a legal arbitrator who looks at the facts of the law and says, these are the rules. You know, you admit you didn't fulfill all of our rules, therefore, you lose your case, you know. What do? You know, you got to tell the truth. You got to give your word and be honest. And that's up to the judge, you know. And you probably think you have a law-breaking preacher here, but it's just life experiences, you know. Life goes on, you run into more things. But anyway, at the time, your words, everything you say, has a significance. And really, as a Christian, as a believer, that's your whole life. Because everything we say has a significance. Amen. 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 Now, I don't want to do two messages at once into the idle talk. But I will just say, the scripture, Matthew 12, 34, maybe we could turn there as we're closing. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. And verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I always looked at this idle word sort of as, you know, it's defined as a useless word or free from labor or leisure, a word that produces no good effect and is not calculated to produce any. I always looked at it as just sort of joking around, or, you know, I didn't quite really understand it. But I was reading up on this, and it kind of set everybody at ease a little bit on this. It set me at ease, helped me a little bit. If you go back to verse 24, and I don't know if I have that. Yeah, verse 24. The Pharisees had said Jesus was casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. And this is part of Jesus' reply to what the Pharisees had said. So, according to the commentator here, I'm trying to see. It's not a discourse intending to innocent mirth to exhilarate the spirits. It's not idle discourse. But it was a word, more like a word that was spoken. They were speaking against the works of God, is what they were doing. The Pharisees were. They weren't just saying, you know, oh, you know, isn't it a beautiful day, and, you know, making small talk or something. But they were actually speaking against the Holy Spirit working. So that's. That's the understanding there about an idle word. For thy words, verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So without getting too much into the idle words, we are... There's a lot of power in our words. I believe if God allowed us, we could speak a world and go live on it. If that was His plan for us. And that just gives us an idea of how powerful our words are. So we can speak words of faith. We can speak words of doubt. We can speak words of fear. We can speak words of courage. And many times, you know, we think, well, I don't feel it, so I don't want to speak a hypocrite, you know. I don't feel to say positive things. You know, I remember one time I was so sick down in Argentina as a helping interpret for a brother that was ministering there. And I just felt terrible, you know. And the brothers kept coming to me and saying, brother, you'll be fine, you know. Praise the Lord, you know. And I appreciated their encouragement, you know. But I just didn't feel it in myself. I couldn't rise up and say, I'll be fine, praise God, you know. In me, it wasn't there to say that. But I was glad they were saying it, you know. I was very glad. Because I sure didn't want to hear, oh, brother, you know,
looks like we're going to have to find somebody else, you know, to interpret tonight or something. You look awful sick. You know? I wanted to hear those words of faith, you know. And just at some point in there, God spoke to my heart and just told me if I step out on the platform, I'll be okay. And He'll take over from there. And so I just stepped up on the platform, you know, and a visitor lady that was from a denomination that we'd met out on the street, I got a chance to have a little street meeting and witness and have a little house meeting with these people. And they came to the church that night. She said she noticed when I stepped up to that platform, I looked kind of like ashen white and the color was really bad in my face. And after we got going, I looked fine. And that's no surprise at all, because that's just the way I felt. You know, I just felt terrible stepping up there. But I had a word, an inspiration in my heart to step out on. So I just stepped up there and God fulfilled that. But it's those kind of positive words which helped, I believe, helped affect me, you know. And so one of the brothers at church, every time he shakes my arm, shakes my hand now, he says, "It's healed, brother. I'm believing it's healed. Praise the Lord." I says, "Thank you, brother. You know, I appreciate that. I don't have that anointing yet. I don't have that revelation. But I'll either have the revelation when I start moving around and saying, oh, it's good. Praise God, it's healed. Or He'll give something in my heart, and then my body will come into subjection to that. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful for brothers that encourage. Amen. That's the kind of words we are to speak. Amen. Let's. I want to sing a little song as we're closing with the guitar. It's one from Brother Dwight Hall, who wrote that little "Hung by the Tongue." It goes along with this message really well. So I'm just going to, if the musicians would like to come, try to figure this out.
Words can make one cry.
about our text, Genesis 1, and you spoke and it was. And you spoke and it was, Lord. And we know every human being, regardless even if they're born again, has a lot of power in their words. I think about men, as the song said, words of hate can kill. I think about men like Hitler and other evil men through time who've spoken words of hate. Think about these people that do these horror things and inspire people to do evil, wicked things through this horror movement that's so prevalent in this end time. Or I think about the words of children as they bully and tease other children and they're cruel and fighting. Lord, all those words have such a negative effect. God, the power of man's word is more than many people realize. But Lord, thank you, God, that the power of your word is available to us, God, that we could be privileged and able to speak your words, Lord. And God, even if we're not inspired or we don't have the revelation or the inspiration, maybe something to stand on, that we can speak to that mountain and watch it disappear. And God, each one of us would love to do that. Lord, we want to be open to you to use us in that manner. But God, even if we're not there, Lord, we can still speak positive words. God, we can let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. God, the very words that come out of us, Lord, creates an atmosphere. It portrays what we're thinking, Lord, and help our thoughts, Lord, to be centered on you and centered on good things and positive and encouraging and uplifting and loving. Lord, help us to be that kind of thinking and speaking people that you would have us to be, Lord, that we could make a difference in our world, Lord, in our wife's life, in our husband's life, in our children's life, in our brothers and sisters' life. Brothers and sisters within a natural family and brothers and sisters within the Lord's family. Lord, help us to employ our tongues and our mouths to be instruments of praise, instruments of edification or building up. We know another scripture says, let everything be done to edification, to build up, Lord. May every word that proceeds out of our mouth, Lord, have some edification in it, God. Help us, as the psalmist or the writer of Proverbs said, to set a watch over our mouth, that no words, worthless words would come out, or idle words, words of mocking, or words of doubt, or words of fear, but that our words would be used of thee to build up. Lord, and help us to remember that great old saying, if we can't say anything nice, to say anything at all. Might add to it, if we can't say anything positive, not to say anything at all. Because the Spirit of God is always positive. God, we thank you for your words. We thank you for how positive you are to us, for how loving and merciful and gracious you have been to us. Lord, we thank you for the example that you've set. Ourselves in the mirror of your word. Begin to see our life reflecting this positive nature that you have. May it reflect out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Talking about the Lord, feeling so much better. Talking about so let's go on. one reason that you can keep playing if you don't mind. One reason that we have church order that we do. Everyone comes in, sits quiet, just meditates, looks at their Bible. Soft music playing. It's a set an atmosphere. Yeah. I remember one time back in Wisconsin, we had a next door neighbor house down that my wife became pretty friendly with. Her husband was pretty friendly too, but he was at work a lot. Four young children, a little bit older than ours. And I remember one time she came over, I think we had some soft music playing in the background, and maybe we were eating watermelon or something like that. And we were actually at supper time. We were ready for supper. But she got to talking and sharing. I happened to be home from work at the time. And just talking and asking about the Word and talking about things of God. Supper. You know, we joked about it for times after that, you know, how she had us there just eating watermelon, you know, for our supper. She would joke about it and stuff. But there was an atmosphere there in the home. An atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere of God's worship that had that drawing power that she didn't want to leave. Amen. And music can help create that atmosphere. That's why I'm a big believer in the right kind of music. Because there's certain kind of music that creates certain kind of atmosphere. And if you ever been to bars, you know what I'm talking about. Been to rock concerts, you know what I'm talking about. There's atmospheres created by music. And certainly there's atmosphere of the Holy Ghost and worship that can be created with music. And yet our words, things we say, are very creative also. They have a power to create an atmosphere. Amen. So may our music and our words and our life create that atmosphere. Amen, brother. Praise God. Brother Cam, come. Close us out.
Stimulated by the Word of God this morning, because to be honest with all of you, you know, we think a lot of times and the spoken word, and we want to place spoken word is something that's perhaps moving a mountain or doing some great far out thing, and we sit in our lives and we say, God, where is this mountain moved, or where is this great spectacle of the spoken word manifesting? And you know, the thing is, a lot of times, just like God gave you three works of grace, justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, we expect to go from point A to point Z. Amen? And we have been given a word. Remember, your prophet even said, he said that the Pentecostals, he said, oh, they can take speaking in tongues, they can take prophecy. But he said, you talk about speaking a squirrel into existence, they don't want nothing to do with that. Amen? We're different than that, amen? Because we believe that the spoken word has drawn nigh into the lips of men, amen? Because the Spirit of God is placed within those men, right? But the thing is, we have to make sure, just like the sermon this morning, that we have to understand that you just can't start speaking a squirrel into existence. It is a manner of life that you have to move yourself into, amen? And it's just like even the psalmist said in Psalms 10, he said that the wicked, he said God is not in all of his thoughts. Amen? So because God is not all of his thoughts, he can't produce God. He can't produce a life of God. Amen? Our issue is not the fact that we can't speak a squirrel into existence. Our issue is that God has to become all of our thoughts. Amen? Hallelujah. Because remember, a thought is a word expressed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to express a spoken word, you have to have the thought of God Himself.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. But you see, you have to have God there. God is not negative. Remember, we just got done preaching about how that dove will take its flight. You're negative, that dove's gone. If the dove's there, then everything's right where it needs to be. Amen. Time is not far spent in the eyes of God. A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. This is just a fleeting moment, right? But I pray this morning that we've caught on to the thought, caught on to the expression that in our minds we will have the service we want to have. You want God here? You'll have God here. How many of us, when we come to service today, you said, "Oh my, service is going to be a ground shaker this morning." Shouldn't we be speaking that? There's going to be deliverance in the house of God this morning. There's going to be miracles in the house of God this morning. It doesn't matter who's preaching. Because God is with His bride. Amen. Amen. We're talking about transforming your life to the image of the Word. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what the spoken Word is. Amen.
Amen.
Because everything that you are is everything that the Word is. So it produces what the Word is.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I really can't add on to what was said this morning, even though I just did something there. But in all honesty, how many of us would be guilty this morning in saying, "God, I haven't been so great at creating this atmosphere. My words haven't shown it." Even the atmosphere about your brothers and sisters. How many can look around this room and say, "I've noticed something about an individual in this room that is good"? Well, why would we focus on the negative when we have the good? And why, in turn, wouldn't we speak the blessing over their life, just like Brother Matt was saying? Hallelujah. You know, we want to take this mindset like when David went to war with his mighty men and the men come, I believe it was the Syrians, they come and they took his whole family, they took everybody's families, they burnt the city down. And we want to have the mentality like David had to have, because the men wanted to kill him. So David, according to the Scripture, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. And we want to have this mentality of, "Well, I've got to do it all by myself." Well, we shouldn't be that way. We have brothers and sisters around us. You're talking about people that didn't have the Holy Ghost compared to people that do have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you realize your prophet said that David would be one of the weakest ones among you here? Yes. Because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. But you do. Oh, hallelujah. You're making me preach. But church, don't you get it? We should be millions of miles ahead of where we're at. I know I'm at fault too. But I know where I'm going. And you know what? That word was spoke to manifest. Who preached that word today? Well, that was Brother Matt Leitner. No. That wasn't. That was the spoken word of God. The Word just spoke. How do you think Brother Branham would speak about faith Remember, he said, I was building, or I was speaking a message to build the faith. The spoken word coming from that mouth produced what it was in the congregation and where he was preaching. So when you heard a message today, that ain't just something, well, God, just let me apply. That was the spoken word. You can accept the life of that word and become that word. Isn't that your design today? Isn't that what you're picking up out of this word today?
Amen.
We're not an immature church, right?
Come on, brother.
Great. Hope you got your gifts in line. But by the grace of God, how many would be willing to say that, God, this is what I want to be. I want to speak like the Word. Amen. That's what I've been created to be, God. And I don't want that flesh to manifest negativity in my life. Everywhere I go, I want people to see the Word, because that's what I am.
Amen.
Let's just sing a song. I'll invite the song leader up here. I don't really feel like I need to give another altar call or need to give this or give that. If you need prayer, you can come up. And you see, if you need God, you can get Him at your seats. If you need God, you can get Him at the altars. These altars have been lonely, church.
Come on, brother.
Why are they lonely? Because you're not letting the Word work on you. Remember, the Corinthian church couldn't take the Word.
Come on, brother.
God, I want to be positive. Well, why don't you show God you mean business with Him? We're already ready to eat. You ain't digested what God fed you with. Why I'm not popular, I'm sorry. But don't we want to be that church? Don't we want to be the bride coming of Christ?
Amen.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
I don't think there's anyone here that doesn't want to be that. We'll sing a song, invite our brother up. If you need prayer, you can get prayer. If you want to come pray, you can pray. You can make the most out of the spoken word that God has delivered to you wherever you want. You can do it at your seat here. You can do it while you're worshiping. But don't you want to treat God like God?
Amen.
Don't you want to treat the situation that you're sitting in right now as a divine moment? Because that's what church is.
Amen.
We got more God here than all Northwest Ohio combined.
Amen.
Look at all the God we got sitting here. And we have the revealed word of this hour. Let's sing that song. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. Don't you love the Word of God that you heard today? I love the little testimonies, how the testimonies are placed. Amen. God has a way of ministering you the Word. Amen. Because when you hear the testimony, it doesn't just say that God did there. It means that God can hear. Amen.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Spirit, come make us humble.
Hallelujah.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Lord, give us clean hands.
You're the living water.
fill us with your power and live inside of me. Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. Fill us with your power and live inside of me. For you're the living water and you're the living water. Oh, my never drying fountain.
So blessed today. Amen. He has
to flee at the sound of your great name, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed, dead are raised at the sound of your great name, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. My Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.